Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the foothills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's day is August 29, 2013. In turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And if you could always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. We made that simple so it would be easy to remember. You can always just Google, though, Prophecy Hour. Any way you can, you'll find it really, really easy. At prophecyhour.com, it's kind of like a hub. You can find videos and all kinds of information from that. You can get the latest breaking news. And the news kind of sort of is what we're going to talk about tonight. But let's bring on our guest, because there's a lot going on, and let's get him in on it. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, not necessarily our guest's will either, but your will, Father. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're bringing back on with us Pastor Carl Gallatz. He's been on with us before talking about his books and other topics. He does have a new book out called The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, the story of Yitzhar Kaderi. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but we've had two programs on that. And so we're not really going to drill him about the book because it really hasn't had a chance to circulate much. Talk a little bit of it, but the main thing that we're going to be talking about with Carl tonight is we're going to get his slant on some of the things that are going on right now in the world, Syria, the blood moons, just many things that are going on right now, and we want to see what he says about Bible prophecy and these events. Well, I'll quit talking, and we'll see if Carl's there. Are you with us, Carl?
I am, Pastor Dan, and man, what an honor it is to be back with you. God bless you. Thank you.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm so glad to have you back. A man of your stature takes time out to even come on this morning.
Managing software can feel...
I was just looking at your website, and folks, you can find that at carlgallatz.com. He has lots of different things over there to look at. But first, let's get this book out of the way. Now, we had on Chris Putnam before, and he got into it, it seems, with a Jewish fellow because he was upset over Rabbi Kaderi, and saying that Rabbi Kaderi didn't really turn to Yeshua. Does your book, what's your book slant on this? I know you don't want to go deep into it, but give us a little teaser.
And I will answer your questions. Thank you, Pastor Dan. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, my first book, published last year with WND Books out of Washington, was called The Magic Man in the Sky, Effectively Defending the Christian Faith. And you had me on, I think, your program about that, and I'm so grateful for that. And that thing went on to be a number one bestseller on Amazon, and God is using it greatly, and people are just turning to the Lord left and right through it, and I praise God for that. In the meantime, my publishers called me some months ago and said, look, there's a story that's not been told anywhere. There's no book on it. There's no movie on it, yet it's a powerful story. And Pastor Dan, I had produced a little six-minute video on it right after it broke loose in Israel Today back in 2007. And the video went viral. It got millions of hits. I mean, people all over the world were going crazy over the story and over my video and Israel Today's article. And the bottom line is, the story is this. Now, by the way, let me just say, my book is called The Rabbi Who Met Messiah. It's available for pre-order on Amazon right now. It's already ranking in two or three different bestseller categories. It's about 6 weeks away from being delivered, but if you pre-order it, you'll get your book sooner than people who order it on the day that it's out. Plus,
right.
Amazon guarantees that you get the lowest price. So if you order it today at one price and it winds up being lower on the day it's shipped, you'll get the lowest price. So people are pre-ordering it all over the world. It's going crazy. But the bottom line is, Pastor Dan, the story is this. Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri, back in October of 2005, stood in his synagogue. Now, this guy was 108 years old. He was born in the late 1800s. He was in the land of Israel before it was ever a nation again. He went through World War I, World War II, the Holocaust, the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood, the birth of the nation of Israel, every war that Israel had ever fought up until 2006. Became one of the chiefest, most venerated rabbis in the nation. Helped Prime Minister Netanyahu, helped him to get into office. He was a rabbi when Ariel Sharon was prime minister. I mean, this guy was hugely connected to politics and the Orthodox Jewish faith. When he died, 300,000 people came to his funeral. They had to close the streets of Jerusalem down. It was in a lot of international newspapers. People flew in by the airplane loads from France and all over Europe to come to this funeral. So this amazing guy in October of 2005 stood in his synagogue and said some astounding things. He said, first of all, I have had a vision of Messiah. God has appeared to me and has revealed to me the Messiah. He said, I have seen the Messiah. I know who he is and I know what his name is. And, of course, the people, said, oh, my gosh. And he said, but here's the deal. He said, I'm going to put his name in a note, and the note has to be sealed, and it's opened 1 year after my death. And then he said, not only that, but before Messiah comes, it has been revealed to me that Ariel Sharon, who was the prime minister at the time, must die. Well, within weeks of him making that astounding announcement, Ariel Sharon had a stroke and went into a coma. And, in fact, everybody thought he was going to die. But,
right.
Pastor Dan, it's been 7 years now, and Ariel Sharon is still in that coma. And within weeks of Ariel Sharon going into the coma, Yitzhak Kaduri, the rabbi, he died. So in the beginning of 2007, that had been a year, they opened the note, and it was posted on Kaduri's own website, apparently by his own webmaster and his staff. And Israel Today picked it up, and another Hebrew-only newspaper picked it up and reported the note. And the death note was revealed, and the note said that the real Messiah's name is Yehoshua, or Yeshua, translated to Jesus.
Right.
I mean, that shook the world. It shook the religious world. It shook Orthodox Judaism to the core. Because that would be like Billy Graham standing and saying, you know what, God appeared to me and told me that the real Messiah was Muhammad, for example. I mean,
right.
the Orthodox Jews, I'm going to say it nicely, they hate the New Testament documents. They hate the concept of Jesus
right.
the Christ being the Messiah. And for their most venerated rabbi to make this declaration was astounding. Now, I'm just going to say this. The book goes into so much more than that. It gets into all the intricacies and details, and it ties together the politics, the culture, the Jewish mind, the kind of Messiah the Jews are waiting on, the life of Ariel Sharon and how all of that ties in. It ties into American politics, what's going on in the world now, prophecy. I can tell your audience that Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times number one bestseller of The Harbinger, he is in the book. So is Tim LaHaye. Joel Richardson, Dr. David Reagan, Chuck Missler, all of these guys worked with me on this project and were a part of the book. Jonathan Cahn is WND Films produced a documentary movie about my book, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, and Jonathan Cahn is in that movie with me. So the book and the movie are scheduled for shipping and release on November 5th, which is, what, 6.5, 7 weeks away. But but the book is now available for pre-order on Amazon. And you can tell your listeners, I will tell your listeners that if they want to know more about what I'm talking about, just go to my website, carlgallops.com, and click on the Rabbi Who Found Messiah picture, the book there, and it'll take you right to its website, and it'll tell you all the stuff I just did, and there's a video you can watch, several videos you can watch, and you can order it from there. But that's what's going on with the book, and I appreciate you asking me about it.
Okay, amen. A couple of comments about it, not any more inquiry, because anyway, but let's go with this. You said that it enraged the Jewish people. In fact, well, we had Chris Putnam on here on radio, and we were talking about it, his book, you know, the one about the Pope, the newest, well, the last two books he did, and he mentioned it on radio. Well, Barry Kamash, which is a also a writer of books, but is a, you know, a Jew. I don't know about being too orthodox, but he was just enraged that the that what he was saying about Rabbi Kaderi. And so I arranged for them both to be on the air together. That was quite a program.
I bet.
Yeah, anyway, and so really you're a real blessing, because, folks, now that you listen to that, and I know a lot of you had questions about it, and a lot of them that I couldn't answer, and I don't know if you ever got Chris to, now if you get this book, this will answer all the questions about it. And there's a lot of different directions this can go, and I'm sure Carl's covered them all, especially you, the other people that he talked about. They've been on this radio program, too, and so I can't wait to get the book. But
yeah.
Going on from that, there's so much going on right now, Carl. I guess the first question I'll ask you, do you really believe that we're living in the last days?
Well, brother, you know what? I do. Now, I'm not setting specific dates, and I'm not even saying that the rapture will occur and the Lord will return in your lifetime or my lifetime, but good gracious, the signs are pointing that way. I mean, definitive biblical signs. And the thing, the key word, I tell people the word, the singular word that to me declares we're living in the last days is the word convergence. My good buddy Dr. David Reagan used that word first. And what that word means, I've been preaching and teaching it, but he used the word, and I said, you know, that's brilliant. I'm going to steal that from you. But convergence, and what that means is, look, let me just rattle these off. Ezekiel 37 said in the last days that Israel would rise from the dust, the dead bones would take on flesh, and the nation would be, they would become a nation again in the last days. But then Ezekiel 38 and 39 says that after they're strong and secure in the land, after they have come risen from the dead, so to speak, in the last days, that they would be surrounded by a coalition of nations that would conspire to attack them. Now, interesting, the nations that are listed there, Pastor Dan, as you know, are listed from the old Genesis 10 table of nations list, but they correspond to modern nations. And the modern nations that are making those alliances, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, to come against a revived and restored Israel in the last days, happen to be all Muslim nations today, with the exception if you think that Russia is involved in it, and I do, but Russia is very pro-Muslim and has ties with Iran, and they have a pact and a mutual protection pact that we can go into if you'd like. But the bottom line is, when these prophecies were given, Muslim Islam hadn't even been invented yet. And so, but now we see every one of these nations in that prophecy. Isaiah 17 speaks of Damascus being destroyed and a massive war in Syria in the last days. I mean, we're watching that unfold on our television set. Psalm 83, good gracious, it speaks of a coalition of Muslim nations in the last days conspiring to attack Israel. So we're watching all of that. Plus, you have Daniel 12 that speaks of an explosion of information and communication technologies in the last days. We are seeing that. You've got Matthew chapter 24, verse 13 and 14, Jesus talking about in the very last days. He said, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached into all the world. Then the end will come. We're the only generation, Pastor Dan, who has seen the technology to bring that forth. And that's happening right before our eyes. You can go into the preaching of the gospel, the technology, the return of Israel, the coalition of nations, the downfall of Syria, on and on and on. And the word convergence means this. All of those things are happening at once together. They're converging on this generation, our generation. We're the only generation in the history of mankind to see Israel restored, Islam come to life, the Muslim nation surrounding Israel getting ready to attack, Syria and Damascus getting ready to fall, the gospel being preached in all the world, an explosion of technology taking place that's only really took place in the last 50 years. We're the only generation to ever see all of these prophecies converge to one pinpoint. So you ask me, do I think we're living in the last days? And I simply say, yes, we are. Now you understand why I think so, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's just too much there. You know, it would be if it was just one or the other, but there's just too much all at once and too much lining up. Absolutely. Another question I want to ask you. I've got some lined up for you. One is I want to know how you – there's a lot of people that's been on the program that go back and forth about America and Bible prophecy. Well, Carl, how do you stand on America and Bible prophecy? Are we in the book?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. There seem to be some possible allusions to us being in the book. Here's what I tell people. Look, you know, people, brilliant Christian commentators and scholars are going to debate this until the Lord returns. So regardless of what I say, I'm going to make somebody mad and I'm going to make somebody happy. Now I don't care. I don't care about political correctness and all of that. But here's what I tell people. I said, just think of this. I said, America is the only nation in the history of the world that founded itself in its founding documents upon a Judeo-Christian foundation explicitly. Now, that doesn't mean that all the founding fathers were born again, Jesus-loving, Spirit-filled, church-going Christians, but it does mean we were not founded as a Muslim nation. We were not founded as a Buddhist nation or a Hindu nation or an atheist nation or a Muslim nation. We were founded by the writings of our founding fathers, the Declaration of Independence, and yes, even the Constitution has Christian language in it. We were founded explicitly upon a Judeo-Christian foundation, the only nation in the history of the world. Now, out of our nation came the largest missionary movement of the gospel to the world that the world has ever seen. All right, so number one. Number two, there's no denying, it is a historical fact that the United States of America was used by God to end World War II, to end the Nazi Holocaust, and to bring about a 2,500-year-old prophecy, the return and the restoration of the nation of Israel. So, has God used our nation in a hugely biblical way? Absolutely. Is he still using our nation? Yes, he is. Will he bring judgment on our nation? Well, he certainly can, and he probably is in the process of that right now. So I think that the United States is a very biblical nation, Pastor Dan. Now, if you want to ask me, point to a specific passage and show me the USA, there's not a passage like that. However, there are allusions to that possibility. I'll give you one allusion to it that some scholars point to, Revelation chapter 12, which is this panoramic, sweeping understanding of the gospel that goes all the way back to the birth of Israel, and then it says, out of this woman who is Israel, the 12 crowns on her, or the crown with the 12 stars on her head, says, out of this woman comes forth a male child who will rule the nations. Of course, her seed go out. Well, we know that's Israel, and we know the male child that ruled the nations, that's the Christ, Messiah, Jesus, who comes out of the line of David. And then it goes on to say, but then her seed, they're persecuted. The dragon is there to try to destroy the child, but that doesn't work. He's caught up to heaven. Well, of course, we know that was, you know, the ascension and, of course, his glorification. But then it goes on to say that the dragon went off to make war against the rest of her seed, those who keep the law and those who hold to the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, those are God's people and the nation of Israel as well, because it speaks of her specific seed. And then it goes on to say, watch this, Pastor Dan. But the woman, that would be Israel, even though she was being attacked by Satan and the dragon was sweeping his tail to try to wipe the woman from the face of the earth, well, that was the plot of Nazi Germany. It says, right. But the woman was protected by an eagle with outstretched wings. And then it goes on to say, who protected the woman for times, times and a half a time, and until she was, you know, to be restored. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's what it says. A lot of people see a possible allusion to God using the United States and our national symbol as an eagle with outstretched wings, possibility of God using the United States of America as his instrument of protecting his people and then, of course, bringing about the nation of Israel. I tell you this, the Muslim nations know that the United States was instrumental in bringing about the nation of Israel. That's why they hate us so badly.
Well, absolutely, absolutely. It's undisputable. I start to say historical fact because so many people were disputing or changing history. Isn't that amazing how they change history? But Israel became a country because the United States recognized Israel as a country. And, you know, had it not been for that, you know, God used us for that. I believe that the Father used us to protect Israel also all these years. But what about America now, though, Carl? America might seem to be turning away a little bit. Do you think that we might lose some of our blessing? I mean, it says, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Do you think that can fall on America?
Yes, absolutely. Not only are we losing some of our blessing, but we have lost a lot of our blessing. And people have gone on and on about these things, so I don't want to re-preach and rehash, but let me just speak specifically. Since 1973, we've killed 50 million of our own children. We've taken them to the fires of Molech, if you will. That's an abomination unto God. Of course, I'm speaking of abortion. Since 1973, those 50 million children would have been grown up now. They would have married amongst themselves. They would have had children and grandchildren by now. So we've killed 150 to 200 million prospective citizens of the United States. There's where our economic base has gone. There's where our Social Security system has gone. There's where our medical system has gone. There's where our intelligence and our doctors and our engineers and our scientists and our pilots and our, you know, our teachers and our pastors and our missionaries. We killed them. We killed them. So we've brought and we're bringing judgment upon ourselves. And that same year, by the way, that we passed.
Wait a minute, Carl, let me interrupt. We've got like 30 seconds till break time. Again, Carl, you can find it simply. You do like I do, folks. Just Google CarlGallops.com, and it'll pop up. There's lots of pages. Well, Carl, we'll come back and we'll talk some more about that. And I agree with you about abortion, absolutely. And I think it's an under-talked about subject, really, among Bible prophecy people. But we'll talk about that and maybe the blood moons. I got some other questions for you. And, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Dan will be right back. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887. or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be your own doctor for only $14.95 plus $2 postage and handling, or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people, your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need: first aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And, of course, the homeless or poor, but we're talking about the people that are still able to keep a roof over their head, but, you know, they can't make ends meet. They come to us looking for food, clothing, and everything. You know the drill. But right now, what the big thing on our heart is, you know, Wichita, Kansas, it's a city that's in a county that has a 500,000 people in it, and there's over 800 churches there, and there is no emergency shelter for women. If a woman goes homeless in Wichita, Kansas tonight, you know what happens? They got a bridge to go underneath. Yes, there are some shelters there. They're specialty shelters. They're always full. There's usually a waiting list, but even those shelters, you have to meet certain criteria in order to get into them. And so the Wichita Police Department says there's no emergency shelter for women. The Veterans Administration, no emergency shelter for women. I get phone calls day after day because these two people are referring people to me, women, because we were donated a fourplex that we're trying to convert into a emergency nighttime shelter. We should be able to hold, we will be able to hold about 20 some odd women at least. And also, once we are open, we will be able to, as a provider for those women, we'll be able to bring the attention to the news media. And so while I look at it being a shelter and a place of comfort and safety for these women, I also look at it as a way to be able to finally get the news media to pay attention and say, look, it's full. We've been open a short period of time. And, you know, the devil's fighting really hard against us. We need to get people to support this shelter. We only need a measly $1,000 to $1,500 a month to pay the electrics, gas, water, and so on, the bills. Nobody's getting any wages to take care of these women. We're just looking to pay the bills on it. And so we're looking for monthly sponsors. We're thinking people, if we get just 10 or 15 people to donate $100 apiece and every month, then we can do it. So pray about it. Pray about it. Anyway, so why do so many people come to us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. They're treated as family, that's the second. And beyond that, we really have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask for help. That's the rule. Then if we don't have the way to fill that need, we pray it in. This is why all the agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We're the last hope for so many, and folks, we're all responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or simply call me at 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallups, and he was telling us about his views on abortion in part. Are you there with me, Carl?
Yeah, I am, Pastor Dan.
Well, thanks for staying on with me. You were still in the middle of telling us about your view on abortion, and I had to interrupt you for a commercial.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Actually, the question was, could America be under God's discipline or judgment? And my answer was absolutely. I think we're there. And I was speaking of the 50 million children that we have slaughtered since 1973 starts that judgment, because those children now would have been grown and married, and married amongst themselves, the 50 million, and they would have had children and grandchildren. So we have offered to the fires of Molech 150,000 of our own, million of our own, children and our future. And we wonder where our economic base has gone. Well, that's it. We've destroyed it. So we've brought that judgment upon ourselves. But in the same year, 1973, that Roe v. Wade was passed, giving us the ability to invite God's judgment like that, that same year, the federal government passed laws protecting the eggs of turtles. And saying that a turtle's egg, if you mess with a turtle nest or a turtle egg, we'll put you in prison and we'll fine you. And it's just amazing. We lost our mind about it in 1973, and it's been a downhill slide in many ways ever since. Now we have so many of our rights that have been sliding away. Our Constitution is being flushed down the toilet. Marriage, we don't even know what marriage is anymore. The Supreme Court doesn't know what constitutes a marriage. Congress doesn't know what constitutes a marriage. The White House doesn't know what constitutes a marriage. For the first time in the history of the United States, unprecedented, the man claiming to be the president and his vice president came out publicly and declared marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman just as, quote, sanctified as a man and a woman being married. Unprecedented, the U.S. military begins to not only accept homosexuality, but celebrates it, actually on Gay Pride Day, actually encourage military members to take part in celebrating. So, and it's not just an American thing, Pastor Dan, that movement is sweeping the Western world. So there's a sliding towards Sodom and Gomorrah that's happening all over the world, but particularly here in America, where we have turned our back on the covenant that we made with God at our founding. And we did. Our founding fathers made a covenant. George Washington went to the capital of the United States, which was then in Washington, D.C., right to a little chapel, which, by the way, is right at ground zero. Now, went to a little chapel, knelt and prayed, and dedicated this country to the hands of the Lord. And he was surrounded by by government officials. So our nation was birthed and founded on its knees before God, dedicated to God. And in the really in the 70s, we kind of put the exclamation point and said, you know what? We're going to walk away from that. We're going to kill our children. We're going to start redefining marriage and sexuality. We're going to start teaching our children and requiring that they learn that, there is no God and that they came from an accidental evolutionary process. And so we've raised up several generations of people now who have been taught a dumbed-down form of American history. They've been taught that reaching in a baby's, in a mother's womb and pulling out a baby is okay, but don't you dare step on a turtle egg. They've been taught that that homosexual marriage is natural, and here we are. And so we're losing our direction quickly, Pastor Dan, and now we're turning our back on Israel, of all things, in so many ways. So, and now we're engaged and immersed in the middle of the Arab Spring and the uprising of the Islamic nations that are Israel's enemies. And we're involved in that. We're involved in stirring that up. The Obama administration is directly involved. So we're inviting these things upon ourselves, and the judgment of God is upon us if we don't repent and turn back to the Lord quickly.
Okay, a couple of things, and I'll let you comment. Number one is, you know, as a Christian nation, as we were throughout the 50s, and you know, I know what it was like when I was young growing up. I'm 58 years old, so I know what my parents were like. I don't know if I could point to any one thing what caused us to turn away from God. But having said that, looking at it, do you believe that the church in itself has been too silent? Do you believe that I believe that there's more conservatives and Christians in this country than the other side? Have we been too silent?
Yes, absolutely. And let me tell you, you said you don't know what one thing caused us to turn from God. Let me give you my opinion. The one thing that brought about everything else, if you want to speak just humanly speaking, Now, of course, there's a spiritual element to this, too. You know, of course,
sure.
Ephesians 6 is clear that our battle is not really against flesh and blood, but against powers of demonic wickedness in high spiritual places. But the one thing was at the turn of the century, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we began to replace our understanding of being created by God, which our founding father said is a self-evident truth. It's a self-evident truth. The evidence is in itself that we're created by God. At the turn of the century, we trashed that concept for the concept of evolution proposition. Now, once we did that, it was a quick downhill slide. It's been less than 100 years to where we've gone from that to now we're removing God from everything. Prayer is out of schools. We're killing our babies. We don't know what marriage is. We don't know about how we need to stand beside the nation of Israel. We've lost our way sexually. Sexual perversion runs rampant. We entertain ourselves with blood and gore and sex. And because for generation after generation since the early 1900s, we've told our children, and of course they're now adults and you know, their parents and grandparents, and some of them even great-grandparents now, we've told them that there is no God and that you are just a cosmological happenstance. Now, if you can get rid of the concept of God and eternity and accountability, then you can kill your babies. Then you can involve yourself in sexual perversion. Then you can look at Israel as just another nation in the world and treat it like you want to. Then you can look at marriage as anything you want it to be. None of those things could happen until our nation first swallowed hook, line, and sinker the pseudoscientific lie of evolution, Pastor Dan. So to me, that's my opinion. That's the one thing we can point to. Now, yes, since then, we've had a lot of anemic preaching and pastoring in our pulpits across the nation. Now, there's been great, great men of God who've stood and proclaimed the truth, but we've got a lot of what I call limp-wristed, lily-livered people in pulpits who won't stand up to truth and who are just satisfied with you know, tickling people's ears and making sure they can count the nickels and the noses and keep their little job and don't stir the pot. And you know, we need some Isaiahs and some Jeremiahs and some Daniels and some Ezekiels and some Joel. Well, we need some people with fire in their belly to speak truth to this generation, Pastor Dan.
Well, amen. So do you think that this is a concept. I didn't even plan to go there. First off, I agree with you about that. I just really hadn't gave that thought in my mind, but I can see exactly what you're talking about. Even in the book of Revelation, we have an angel that flies to the earth and said, worship him who created everything. That's a paraphrase. But having said that, what do you think about the concept that turning away from God, do you believe that the trouble that we'll go through will turn us back to God?
Well, it can. It depends upon where we are specifically on this prophetic timeline. I mean, we may be right down to the wire. I mean, we might be. Now,
absolutely.
And if that's the case, then, I mean, you know, then I don't know that we're capable of turning back to God at this point. But there is the promise of, you know, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Now, that in its context was given to Israel, but the biblical concepts of, you know, my people who are called by my name, if they would turn from their wicked ways and repent and pray, I would hear from heaven and heal their land. Those are biblical principles that would apply to us today if we would follow them. And I do, I'm kind of, day by day, I pray like Abraham, the prayer of Abraham over Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Lord, if there's 50 left, please spare your judgment. You know, please,
yeah,
if there's 40 left, if there's 30 left.
That's
kind of where we are right now, Pastor Dan. I mean, you and I are standing on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're watching the revelry and the debauchery going on. And they don't even know that they're involved and spitting in God's face every day. And you and I are weeping and crying over Sodom and Gomorrah, and we're praying to God, God, please, unless it's time for your judgment, please spare us. But,
you know,
as in Sodom and Gomorrah, God's judgment did fall.
Yeah, amen. I pray consistently for the Father to lift the veil from their eyes so that they can really see where we're at. I mean, you know, people leave the church and then they go to the movies and they're right in the middle of it and they don't realize it. Well, I still was able to save a little bit of time for this one. Any thoughts about the coming blood moons? Have you heard about them? But thought about that?
Yes, I think Pastor John Hagee has a book coming out in a few weeks about it, and I've produced a little short documentary video on it. People can go. I'll tell you all about it, and I'll tell your listeners, but if your listeners want to see a video or pass it along through the email to other people so that they can get it, just go to carlgallops.com, and right about in the middle, you'll see a little menu there that says P.P. Simmons Vids, V-I-D-S, or videos. Recent uploads, or Carl Gallup's videos, recent uploads. If you'll click on either one of those, it'll take you to YouTube, and you'll see the little video that was done just a few days ago on the blood moons. That video has gone viral all over the Internet. Now, here's what the concept is. A blood moon is when the moon seems to have a reddish, bloody appearance. Now, a blood moon happens when there is a total eclipse of the moon. Now, those happen rather frequently, just a total eclipse of the moon. I don't know the astronomical frequencies, but they're not that rare. I can remember last year the news talking about a blood moon, and I remember going out and seeing it and watching it. It was actually quite gorgeous, a little eerie, but pretty to look at. But so a blood moon in and of itself is not that big of a deal astronomically speaking. However, there is another astronomical feature to this that is very, very interesting. That is, since the year 1 AD, so that's what, 2012 years, for the last 2,000 years, let's say, there has only been 7 occurrences of what is called a quatrad. Quatrad means 4 blood moons back to back at a specific time. Only 7 occurrences. Now, what has happened, what that means is, the next quatrad, by the way, is due to happen in 2014 and 2015. Now, let me tell you what that means. means in the beginning of 2014, and I'll tell you what date in a moment, but in the beginning of 2014, there will be an eclipse of the moon, which will have a full moon that looks like it's been turned to blood. In the end of 2014, near the end, there will be another blood moon. In the beginning of 2015, there will be another blood full moon. And in the end of 2015, there will be another blood full moon. So there's four blood moons back-to-back in two consecutive years. That's called a quatrad. That has only happened seven times in human history since 1 AD, since about the time of the birth of Christ. Now, what's amazing about that? Well, what's amazing is that the first blood moon of the first year falls on Passover. The second blood moon of the first year falls on Tabernacles. The first blood moon of the second year of the quatrad falls on Passover. The fourth blood moon of the second year falls on Tabernacles. So in these quatrads, the blood moons fall on Passover and Tabernacles. Now, the last two blood moons, 1948 and 1967, amazing. 1948, Israel was reborn during those blood moon quatrads. 1967 was the Six-Day War and the recapture of Jerusalem and the proclaiming of it as the spiritual capital of Israel. Two huge biblical events, prophetic events, happened in the last two quatrad blood moons. The next one will be the eighth one in human history since Christ was born. And the number eight, very interestingly, and your listeners can check this out on the internet, just Google it, that number eight is directly related to Jesus Christ. If you'll take his name Hebrew, in the Hebrew, Yehoshua or Yeshua, and apply the numerical value of the Hebrew letters to that name. Most of your listeners probably know, I know you do, Pastor Dan, that the ancient Hebrew scholars have applied a numeric value to each of the 21 letters of the Hebrew alphabet so that you can take a Hebrew word and figure out the number of its name. A lot of people believe that's what the book of Revelation is speaking of with the Antichrist, because John said, beware or figure out the number of his name. The Jewish mind would have understood that as what's called the gematria, the applying of those numbers. If you'll take Jesus' name, Yehoshua, Yeshua, and apply the numerical values, his name is 888, which is one more, of course, than 777. Seven being the number of God's number of completion and perfection. In the book of Revelation, the number seven appears over 50 times. Seven trumpets, seven vials, seven angels, seven seals, seven churches, seven letters. And so it has to do with completion. Well, but Jesus is the exclamation point of completion. He's one more than completion. He's the completion of the completion. So his number is eight. So in this eighth quatrad since his coming, we now have coming upon us, 2014 and 2015, at Passover and at Tabernacles. Interesting. Passover, of course, is when Jesus was crucified.
Right.
Tabernacles is the last feast of the seven feasts of Israel, signifying God now dwelling with his people and his people now dwelling with God. Well, a lot of scholars believe that points directly to the return of Jesus Christ and or the rapture of the church. Either way you want to cut that, it refers to God being with his people and God's people being with him. So in 2014, 2015, there's a quatrad of blood moons, the eighth one in 2,000 years. Now, get this. As you know, Pastor Dan, the scriptures are clear that when the Lord returns and the great day of the Lord comes and God pours out his wrath, it will be on a blood moon.
Yeah,
the Bible
absolutely.
The book of Joel says in the Old Testament, and it's quoted again in Acts 2, Jesus talks about it in several passages of Scripture, Matthew, I think, 24. I may be mistaken on that, but four or five places in the New Testament, it speaks of the moon turning to blood when Jesus returns. The moon refusing to give its light. That would be the eclipse, the total eclipse. And of course, the stars falling from the skies and signs in the heavens. I mean, there's going to be an amazing astronomical occurrences at the return of the Lord. But one of the things that will accompany the return of the Lord is the moon turning to blood. So I'm not naming dates and times, and I'm not saying exactly what's going to happen, but I can tell you, astronomically speaking, we are due for the eighth quadrat of blood moons, 2014, 2015, and we're right around the corner from it, and the last two have been huge biblical occurrences, the return of Israel and the capture of Jerusalem, and eight is the number that is directly related to the name of Jesus himself. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. If you have more questions, I'll answer them, but my video can be found at carlgallops.com. Just click on Carl Gallup's recent upload videos or P.P. Simmons' recent upload videos.
Okay, right now, folks, I am looking at that site. That's Blood Moon Rising, Jesus Returning Soon. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes, sir. That's it. Uh-huh.
Okay,
so
absolutely.
Did you find that video pretty easily by my instructions?
Oh, absolutely. Folks, actually, you click on the little thing that says prophecy, and it takes you to your YouTube videos, and it's right there. And there's a bunch of amazing videos there. You're going to have to watch them all, folks. But let me say this, Carl. I don't believe in naming dates, but looking at the Middle East and, like you say, all the countries lining up and the morality of the world, not just America, and Israel becoming back and becoming a country, these blood moons really kind of put you on the edge of your seat, don't it?
Well, they really do, Pastor Dan. Again, I try to be very balanced. Even in my new book, The Rabbi That Found Messiah, I'm very careful that I don't go off on tangents and get all sensational on people.
Right.
Same thing with this blood moon thing. Listen, I just try to report the facts. It's a fact that there have been seven before this one. It's a fact that we're coming into the eighth. It's a fact that they will happen on Passover and Tabernacles. It's a fact that Jesus' name is associated with the number eight. It's a fact that the Scriptures declare that when he returns, he will return on a blood moon. I mean, those are all facts. Now, you know, is this that? I don't know. We'll find out, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And that's all the more call for people that you need to live your life like every day that Yeshua is going to return, because we need to be right with him, not just wait for the last minute. You need to be right with him now. Carl, I really appreciate you being on with me, and I'll make sure I get a copy of that book. I can't wait. And I guess there's a video too, right?
Yes, sir. There's a documentary movie with Jonathan Cahn in the movie with me, so you want to get that. And pre-order the book now. Tell your folks, pre-order the book. Of course, I'll get you a complimentary copy, my brother. But
okay.
Tell your folks, pre-order the book. You'll get it at its lowest price. You'll get the book quicker than anyone else. And if I hate to invite myself, but once it's out, if you'll have me back on, we'll talk about it in great detail. We'll go up and down on the book, brother.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll absolutely do that. And so I'm going to have to say goodbye and shalom to you because we've run out of time. Thanks a lot, brother, and we will have you back on. Bye-bye.
Shalom, Pastor Ben.
Well, folks, Rabbi Cahn, wow, that, I didn't know there was going to be a movie about the book, but you remember, folks, we talked about that rabbi, and I believe that is one of the signs that Jews, that some of the Jews, not all the Jews, would be turning to Yeshua before his return. But, of course, most of you know that they will not turn to Yeshua for the most part until he does return. We'll pray about supporting the woman's shelter and pray about the mission church, but I really got to get out of here. And drop me an email. Let me know how you like the program. Look at the other things at AVR. But we must remember, folks, there really is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for our repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Pray and get close to Yeshua. Get on your face. If you're not on your face to him, you need to get on your face. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying, goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.